Good morning, and thank you for joining today's national media telebriefing, launching Consumers First, the alliance to make the healthcare system work for everyone. My name is Sophia Tripoli, Director of Healthcare Innovation at Families USA, and I will be the moderator for today's telebriefing. On today's call, we will hear from the steering committee members for Consumers First, our new alliance that brings together powerful interests from consumers, children, employers, labor unions, and primary care providers to change the fundamental economic incentives and design of the healthcare system so that the system truly delivers the high-quality healthcare for all families for our nation. Our speakers are Frederick Asasi, Executive Director of Families USA, Elizabeth Mitchell, President and CEO of Pacific Business Group on Health, Brandy Weingarten, President of the American Federation of Teachers, Sean O'Brien, Assistant Director of Research and Collective Bargaining Services at the American Federation for State, County, and Municipal Employees, and Elise Schumann, Senior Vice President of Health Policy at the American Benefits Council. After brief remarks by each of our presenters, we will open up the call to answer questions. Without further delay, I will turn it over to our first speaker, Frederick Asasi, Executive Director of Families USA.
Thank you so much, Sophia. It's my sincere pleasure to announce the launch of this new initiative. The recognition that our healthcare system is too expensive and does not effectively meet the needs of consumers is not a new one. For decades, elected officials, policymakers, and other stakeholders have worked to improve quality and affordability in the healthcare system. While some progress has been made, particularly in areas related to healthcare coverage, millions of people in our country continue to fall behind economically because of the crushing burden of a bloated and poorly organized healthcare system. In fact, right now in the country, almost half of Americans report that they do not see a doctor when they need to because of cost, and almost a third report that healthcare costs interfere with their ability to pay for basic necessities like food and housing. And despite spending much more money than the rest of wealthy nations, women in our nation die at a younger age, more of our babies die during childbirth, and we have more preventable death within our healthcare delivery system than those other nations. Efforts to date to reform the healthcare payment and delivery systems have largely been focused at the margins and are themselves built on the underlying economic distortions that are deeply embedded in our current system. How do we get to value when price is out of control? How do we get to a system that provides health to our nation when what is rewarded is doing more and spending more? What has been missing is a unified and unbiased voice that articulates the interests of our nation's seniors, families, adults, and children in the policies and programs that govern our healthcare system. In short, what has been missing is the voice that puts consumers first. Instead, policymakers turn to members of the healthcare industry, often hospitals, doctors, pharmaceutical companies, and insurance plans, to serve as a proxy for their patients and enrollees, the very entities subject to these economic incentives and distortions. It's time for elected officials and policymakers to have a sophisticated, informed coalition pushing hard to change the underlying economic distortions in healthcare. Consumers First will counterbalance those entrenched interests and find key opportunities to change federal and state laws and policies to redirect the economic incentives and design of the healthcare sector. Last year, Families USA brought on Dr. Bob Berenson, one of the preeminent leaders in the healthcare payment reform, to help us conceive of this initiative. In the fall, we convened a national advisory committee and began the hard work of identifying the most important areas for reform immediately. In our call to action, we identified six broad focus areas for our new consumer movement. They are distortions in healthcare pricing, including, for example, prescription drug pricing, physician and hospital pricing, distortions created by the provider payment system led by the Medicare program, healthcare industry consolidation, federal tax policy for insurance plans and nonprofit healthcare institutions, flawed healthcare workforce policy, and inadequate access to data and transparency. We are excited about this agenda and ready to get going. And as you know, Families USA is honored to be joined by an exemplary steering committee made up of some of the leading healthcare and consumer organizations in the country, representing a broad set of perspectives from families, children, employers, unions, and primary care providers. The members of the steering committee will oversee our strategy. The steering committee includes the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American Benefits Council, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, the American Federation of Teachers, First Focus, and the Pacific Business Group on Health. With that introduction, I will now turn the call over to Elizabeth Mitchell, the CEO of the Pacific Business Group on Health. Elizabeth and the Pacific Business Group on Health have been remarkable leaders in this space for many years, and it's a joy to be working with them on this national agenda. Elizabeth, please take it away.
Thank you, Frederick, and thank you, everyone, for being here. I can't think of a more important issue for our country, and I am thrilled to be in such great company taking this on behalf of the people of the United States. I want to just emphasize our members are spending billions of dollars every year purchasing healthcare on behalf of their employee populations. and they are absolutely committed to the health and well-being of their workforce. But even conservative estimates show that over 30% of healthcare spending does not improve health. It is effectively waste, administrative waste, unnecessary tests and procedures, and high prices. Large employers are absolutely committed to investing in their employees, but it has to be high value, and we are prepared to re-examine our relationships to ensure that our employees get the best outcomes, the highest quality, for the most appropriate and affordable price. The report also shows that between 1999 and 2016, the total cost of a family employer-sponsored health insurance plan rose from $5,791 to $18,142 in real 2016 dollars. These increases are coming at the expense of wages, of housing, education, and other contributors to health. These increases were driven in part by consolidation, and in part by market failures that we are eager to address with our partners. We are seeing the effects of industry consolidation, market failure, and pricing that doesn't reflect the value of services delivered. And our members are prepared to look at new partnerships to address these issues. I also want to point out that not only are employers aligned with families and users of the system, but they are also deeply aligned with physicians, because physicians want the best health outcomes for their patients who are our employees. We believe that these partnerships can take on these fundamental challenges and that we can create the system that we all deserve. Sophia?
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Our next speaker is Randy Weingarten, President of the American Federation of Teachers. Randy? Randy, are you there? All right, we will move on to go ahead.
Apologies, ma'am. It appears Randy has not joined the conference.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move to Sean O'Brien, Assistant Director of Research and Collective Bargaining Services at the American Federation for State, County, and Municipal Employees. Sean?
Good morning. I'm happy to be here today on behalf of the women and men of AFSCME who provide vital services that make America happen, and as well as to join with Frederick, Elizabeth, Randy, and Elise in launching Consumers First. AFSCME members have an intimate knowledge of the healthcare industry, and they bring a distinct perspective to the policymaking process. Members and their families are patients and their health plan members. Members also negotiate and advocate for affordable, comprehensive health benefits. They also work in the healthcare system to provide quality care for and to advocate on behalf of patients in hospitals, clinics, long-term care facilities, public health programs, and other settings. This means that AFSCME members see and experience the shortcomings of our system every day. They see that despite investing nearly twice as much as comparable countries in healthcare, we fall far short on prices, overall costs, and most significantly, health outcomes. They see that too many families fall thousands of dollars into debt trying to afford the care they need, and they know that to fix these problems, consumers need to have a voice in the decisions impacting their care. And that's why we're joining together with the organizations here today to create Consumers First and to give a voice to healthcare consumers, patients, and their families. Through this coalition, we will work together to address the hidden currents in America's healthcare system that are driving costs upward and delivering too little for working people, retirees, and their families. AFSCME members especially know how important it is to have an organized voice if you want to be heard and to have a seat at the table when decisions are being made. We're ready to roll up our sleeves to help steer our healthcare system in the right direction. Unfortunately or unfortunately, there is no shortage of work to be done. As Frederick noted, there are six major distortions and areas of policy focus that have been identified that we're going to work on, and we must tackle these critical distortions in how we pay for care, how prices are set, these things that result in excessive and unreasonable costs and too often less than top quality care for individuals. These prices and costs don't reflect the value of the care Americans are receiving or the actual cost of providing care, and they're straining the ability of families to get decent coverage and making it more difficult for employers and governments to provide it. We also need to invest in the healthcare workforce, especially training for primary care doctors, nurses, and public health professionals to reverse the troubling shortage of primary healthcare workers and to improve the delivery of care for Americans. The bottom line for us is that we believe every person should be able to get the high quality care they need when they need it. And the work that we are setting out to do through Consumers First is going to be an important part of how we get there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean. And our final speaker is Elise Schumann, Senior Vice President of Health Policy at the American Benefits Council.
And thank you. Employers who provide health care coverage to more than 181 million people are committed to fixing the problem of rising health care costs. With employers paying more than $725 billion to provide group health insurance, employers are a uniquely important purchaser of health care. That's why the American Benefits Council is so proud to join these other organizations in forming Consumers First. The council will help add the perspective of large employer health plan sponsors to this all-important effort. Lower cost and higher value health care is our shared goal. Together, we must and will find a way to align the economic incentives of the healthcare system with affordable, high-quality healthcare for all of Americans' families. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elise. We will now take questions, and John, our operator, will provide some instructions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt online will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a brief moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now move on to our first question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hello, yes. This is Alicia Ault with Medscape Medical News. And I believe at the outset you had mentioned part of the problem being that policymakers and legislators were paying too much attention to the industry and also to what sounded like hospitals, doctors. So I'm wondering how you being an alliance with doctors, what's the logic behind that in this campaign?
Sure. Hi, this is Fred Casassi, the Executive Director at Families USA. I think what we're saying is that policymakers need to have an unbiased voice who comes forward to bring the interests of America's families to the center of the national either legislative process or policymaking process. And one of the things we know is that the current economic incentives within the healthcare system overemphasize specialty care, conflict care provided to hospitals, and de-emphasize the kinds of care that can really bring health to our nation's families. And one of the most important ingredients in all of that is the primary care workforce and family physicians. And so the idea of having family physicians at the table is having their voice present so that policymakers understand that we are in solidarity with the provider community. This isn't an opposition, it's not antagonistic. What we're really trying to do is change the incentives that the system is responding to so that health is actually at the center of the enterprise and not just simply generating more revenue for specialty care, for hospitals, those sorts of things.
Just as a follow-up to that, you also are including large employers, and many experts would say large employers have been maybe part of the problem by pushing to bring costs down but not necessarily create value. So can you explain, again, how the employers you're aligning with in this effort are not going to be bringing some sort of bias to the table?
Sure. So this is Frederick again, and then I'll turn it over to American Benefits Council and to Pacific Group on Health to respond as well. In fact, I think employers are doing a lot of really important work around the country to try to drive value into the healthcare system. You know, everything from things like reference pricing to the use of national contracting to try to drive greater value into healthcare payments. The truth of the matter is that a lot of the distortions in the healthcare system are actually foundationally, they reside within some of our public programs, particularly Medicare, and the way we reimburse for care in Medicare, which then is picked up and is often amplified in our private contracts that employers and other folks enter into. And so I don't think it's as simple as to say that employers have washed their hands of that. Actually, they're working very, very hard in that regard. But we have to attack some of these underlying fundamental distortions in support of employer efforts, as well as in interest of families. Because at the end of the day, as I said, what we want to do is really change the economic incentives that are currently driving us towards the ever-escalating healthcare costs, really poor outcomes. But I do think that we strongly believe that employers have been real leaders in this space. We have to remember that employers, by definition, are trying very hard to execute against their business model, but they also want a really healthy and vibrant workforce. And so we've got a lot of aligned interests there. Does Elizabeth or Lisa, do you guys want to?
Sure.
Thank you, Frederick.
Hey, this is Elise, and let me just add that the reason that the American Benefits Council is joining this phenomenal effort is because of employers' commitment to not just lowering costs, but raising quality. And again, it's all about value. And employers have indeed been at the forefront and pioneers of trying to drive higher value healthcare. But in many ways, those efforts have been hampered by the underlying distortions in the healthcare system that we're trying to address through this effort, as well as policies that, again, impede and minimize those efforts. But I just want to reiterate that employers' commitment to driving more value in the healthcare system for working families is the very reason why the American Benefits Council is joining this effort today.
And this is Elizabeth. I would say the same. Yes, thank you. The same is true for the Pacific Business Group on Health and our members. Not only are they committed to this partnership, but they are innovating in the field right now to achieve higher value on behalf of their employees. Many of them are exploring direct contracting for high-value primary care. They're committed to investing in the primary care infrastructure. And more of them are looking at using centers of excellence, ensuring that their employees are only receiving care from the highest value providers. They face significant barriers for purchasing in the current system, including a lack of transparency, a lack of data sharing, a lack of clear standards for care. They are absolutely committed to changing those fundamentals and to achieving the value that this entire movement is looking for.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And while we're waiting for the next question, I'd like to turn over to Randy Weingarten, President of the American Federation of Teachers, for a few brief remarks. Randy?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sophia. Sorry, I was originally on the other line. Can you hear me now or no?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly. Go ahead.
Fantastic. So I've heard the whole conference. I'm not going to talk for very long. I'm just going to say that we're proud to be part of Consumers First, and we actually see the entire healthcare system from lots of different vantage points, from the consumer, from the person who has a pre-existing condition, from the person who doesn't have any healthcare because she's an adjunct or contingent worker somewhere, from the person who has negotiated healthcare in big systems like the UFT and every single employee in the city of New York, to the person who is the nurse or the PT or the OT. The system is broken, and we need to make sure that consumers and that people who use healthcare and who need healthcare as a right instead of a privilege have a real agency and power here to actually align the incentives and align this correctly. And that is why we are part of this. So that drug costs, it shouldn't take the AGs in 43 states fighting and suing to drive down drug costs. It should be consumers of healthcare who should have healthcare as a right doing that. And that is why the AFT is so honored to be part of this.
Thank you very much, Randy. We really appreciate it. Are there other questions?
We will now take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hello? Hello?
Hi there. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, this is Sarah Hansard with Bloomberg Law. Can you all give some specifics about what you're going to be working on? Hello?
Hi, this is Fred Kasasi from Families USA. So I think that this first step is a call to action. We will be releasing in just a few weeks a more detailed description of specific policies that we're going to be going after very quickly this year. So our work is this trying to influence both administrative and legislative policies. We have identified our policy domains. So, for example, healthcare pricing is a very big focus for all of us, and that cuts across things like the way in which pricing carries from Medicare into the private sector. It includes the way in which pharmaceutical pricing is set, or the way that hospital consolidation might impact healthcare pricing. We also are very focused on the ways in which the other ways in which consolidation has impacted the ability for a vibrant market to exist, where true negotiation drives up value. We're very concerned about federal tax policies, including the way in which the nonprofit healthcare sector may or may not be providing a true public benefit, as well as the ways in which existing federal tax law may be penalizing providers who are providing high-quality healthcare to their employees. As we mentioned, we're very focused on healthcare workforce, and this is the idea that in order to drive towards value, we have to start not only training but also paying for folks who are providing care in a much more holistic way and not in a more fragmented, specialty-focused way. And then finally, the last domain would be around data and transparency. And this is really about the idea that we currently have a lot of data blocking occurring around the country. There's a lot of disagreement about who owns what data. But at the end of the day, once data are ubiquitous and are flowing freely, we can see some real disruption, some real insights into who's providing high-quality care, who's actually driving towards health, how we can reassess and re-incentivize the kind of quality, the kind of care being provided around the country. So those are our big policy domains. That kind of gives you a hint towards where we will be headed. But stay tuned, because in a few weeks you'll actually get specific policies that we'll be pursuing.
I don't know if you can still hear me. I was going to say, can you say something more about the tax law things that you're looking at? You're talking about how tax law penalizes providers or employees. I wasn't clear on what you were saying there.
Well, there's a lot of interest in focusing on the notion of community benefit and the tax benefit to nonprofit health systems in particular, and the ways in which they may or may not be meeting the needs of their communities. But in addition, we have a tax that's slated to take effect to penalize providers who are providing high-value health insurance, high actual value health insurance, the so-called Cadillac tax. At this moment in the country where we see that providers are having a harder and harder time providing high-quality health insurance to their employees, the last thing we need to do is create a tax penalty on the employers who are actually providing high-value health insurance to their employees.
And so you're indicating that you all do not favor the Cadillac tax, is what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Well, we haven't formally announced that policy yet, but we are deeply concerned about it.
And let me just add, this is Eileen Schumann from the American Benefits Council, and indeed we are firmly committed to repealing the misguided Cadillac tax.
Yeah.
And this is Sean O'Brien from MAPS Me, so I'll second that.
and I will third that. We completely oppose that tax, and it shouldn't even be called a Cadillac tax. It is word. The plans that have them have also hugely helped in terms of well-being and have driven down costs.
Right.
And if you look on page 24 of the call to action, we actually have a small discussion about the Cadillac tax there that we've all agreed to.
Other questions from folks?
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star, then one. It appears there are no further questions via telephone. I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll just give one more minute for folks if you have any additional questions. I'd like to point your attention to the call to action, which is up on the Families USA website. There is a link to the call to action there if you haven't already received it, as well as a one-pager. Please feel free to take a look, and we will be very excited to be sharing our more detailed policy agenda with folks in the coming weeks, both focused on legislative action and as well as administrative policy change. Are there any final questions?
It appears there are no questions via telephone.
Fantastic. If you do have any additional questions, please feel free to email Lisa Holland at Families USA. You can either call her directly at 202-626-0640 or send her an email at lholland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, at familiesusa.org. That's Lisa Holland, again, is your point of contact at Families USA. Are there any final remarks in the room from any of our steering committee members? All right. Thank you very much all for joining today's media telebriefing. We really appreciate your time. Thank you.